for a family to stop physically and sit down and read the Bible together night after night, year after year, says to children, this is important.
Elizabeth Elliot says, if you dwell on your own feelings about things, then you're likely to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe, she says. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with Lovelace Howard on the subject of teaching the Bible to children. Yesterday, Lovelace, you gave us some biblical guidelines, four of them. I wonder if you'd repeat those, and then maybe you can expand on them a little bit.
I'd love to. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses tells the parents of Israel to bring their children up in the word of the Lord, and he tells them to do it regularly, unabashedly, naturally, and very diligently. You shall teach these words to your children, wrote Moses, when you lie down and when you rise, as a regular part of your family routine. I find that's the biggest problem. Most families today have very little routine.
What if the family doesn't? They're just never together, even for one meal, or maybe more than one meal a week.
I think this is a side effect from trying to read the Bible and pray with your children. You find out how little time you spend together, how little routine you have. Anyone who came to me personally to talk about this, I would draw this to their attention and suggest that they have a look at their schedule. Why don't they eat dinner together more than twice a week, especially with little children? I'm amazed at how few families eat breakfast together. I hardly know any.
Well, people don't even eat breakfast at all, do they? Let alone together.
Sometimes a father can't get home in time for supper with his very small children. I certainly understand that. And with very little children, I don't think we have to worry too much about the formality of it all. We can read Bible stories to them. We don't have to ring a bell and say, now we are reading the Bible, children. We just do it. And also in a family where only one parent is interested or a Christian, it can be done. But regular is important. I suggest that if a family eats dinner together Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings, then they have Bible reading and prayer Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings. That's better than nothing. And if you do it week after week, year after year, that's regular. That's a routine.
And if a parent says, but my kids don't want to.
I think myself that as parents, we have the responsibility for making decisions for our family. We do this all the time without noticing. And in this area as well, we decide this is something that is good for my children. We're going to do it together anyway. I'm not sending them off to their rooms to do it. And if we start when they're little, I've never met a 3-year-old who didn't like to cozy up to their mother and father and have their undivided attention for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I don't think it will happen, but we can start midstream. Parents who've just become Christians and have junior high kids, they can sit down together several nights a week and explore the scriptures together. It's exciting.
What about the one parent who's interested? Of course, there are single parent families, but where there is both a father and a mother, but only one is interested, and usually it seems to be the mother who's interested and the father either is not a Christian or he says, oh, well, I'm not really very spiritual and I'd much rather you do it because you're better at things like that. Let's deal with two different cases, one where the husband says, you'd go ahead and do it, that's fine, but he's not interested. The other where he really doesn't even like the idea and is a little bit resistant.
We're talking right now about reading the Bible regularly with our children. It doesn't have to be done on the sofa in the living room after supper. Bedtime is another possibility, just like it is for praying with a child. The mothers I know who are doing it on their own without much interest or cooperation from their fathers do it at bedtime. Many fathers don't even get home for supper with their families anyway. And if the children are there and the mother is there and the Bible storybook is there, they can do it. I know people who do it on their own, just like they bring their children to church week after week alone. Most fathers don't fuss too much about it. I wouldn't myself push for the mother saying, "No, dear, you have to read the Bible to your children." That's getting over into habits I would be very nervous about. But for a mother to share with her children her faith via Bible stories is very important, or a father for that matter. And I would hope that the husband and wife are working out the issue of respect between each other to the extent that they can handle their faith or no faith, at least that far. I know that it is done by mothers in my church.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've been talking about the principles that Moses gave mm-hmm. us in Deuteronomy. What was the reference
for
that?
Well, after the regular part, I would recommend in a household where both mother and father are Christians that it be done as a family routine, to unabashedly, not only to help the regularity of this project, but to give the child a sense of identity as a Christian. When their friends come to visit, we sit down together and read the Bible. Just like you get in the car and go to church on Sunday morning, whether the rest of the neighborhood does or not. For the father, if he cannot be there at supper time to read the Bible, to show his interest by asking the children about their Bible story when he does come home. But for a family to stop physically and sit down and read the Bible together night after night, year after year, says to children, this is important. It isn't just what we teach our children, it's what we teach them is important to us. And that's what I know from my childhood. My father loved the Bible. It was important to him. He taught a Bible class in our home every Tuesday night. That sinks in very, very deeply with children. The other one is naturally the fact that we're reading these stories with them, and we've got to be prepared for them to try to relate these stories to life as they find it, to bring up questions as we are driving around in our cars. I'll never forget the night my son was very sick all night, and in the middle of the whole experience, he cried out, "Why does God let this happen to me?"
How old would he have been?
He would have been 8 to 12. And at first you think, why doesn't my child understand? Why is he questioning God? But I began to realize that a child being brought up in the scriptures is not in a meaningless universe like his friends are, but he is constantly trying to get together this God of the Bible, his love and his power, with life as he knows it.
The very fact of asking a question, why, implies that there is a reason.
Yes.
And a purpose. And if we're living in a meaningless chaos, then it's pure chance. We're at the mercy of chance and has nothing to do with
exactly.
anything. So this goes along with what you were saying. You're shaping a child's vision of life. It's very encouraging when a child asks a question
Absolutely.
Like that, because then you know that he is aware that you're conscious that God is there and that God does have something to do with
exactly.
this, whether we understand what it is or not.
Moses says in Deuteronomy 6 that when your children ask you, what do these stones mean?
Then you can
then
tell
you
them.
Give your testimony of how mm-hmm. the Lord has led you. And I have begun to appreciate the questions my children ask. They're hard, and they come from their gut. Mm-hmm. They come out of testing and fear sometimes, but they are constantly trying to work out paradox. I think we've got to let our children grow up with paradox.
Absolutely.
That's the only way faith grows.
Here, here.
And I believe that we have proven that reading the Bible over here and receiving their questions over here, doing the best we can with them, but leaving them open if we have to, enables them from these early ages, like 5 and 6, through their school years, to grow in faith. And they get to high school and they get to college, and that faith has got some muscles, and it struggles through.
Robust.
Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, applies to children as well as adults, I think. And family life is so difficult now. succeeding in a job or a career, attending to one's own soul in marriage, fulfilling your responsibilities in church, in the body of Christ, the challenge to do all of that and raise one's children is big.
Yes, let me put in just a parenthesis here. I happened to be listening to the radio last night as I was driving into the airport, and I heard a lawyer named Bruce Williams, who answers questions, I guess, but a 31-year-old father who is trying to make it in the law career called in to say that he was having a hard time juggling all these things that he was trying to do. And Mr. Williams said to him, "You have to set your priorities. If your family is important to you," he said, "forget the big money. You cannot do both." And I thought that was wonderful. Young man, he just couldn't swallow that, and he kept arguing about it. He said, "Look, I'm telling you can't do it. Forget the big money. You're not going to make it." He said, "Is your family important to you? Okay, you've made that choice."
I think it comes down to that.
That's what it comes down to, isn't it?
It takes a diligence and a perseverance.
Thanks, Lovelace. We'll be back again with more talk on the spiritual training of children.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.